This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
We're back here on a Wednesday. I watched the final episode of Shogun last night on Hulu. There will not be a season two, for those of you who are not familiar with the storyline. The show ended exactly as the book ended, and so it's a one-off. There's talk about maybe other books, but the characters that you... It's the best show that's been on TV this year. Oh, wow. I mean, it's that good. And it is so fascinating, the look inside Japanese culture at that time. And they didn't do that American thing where they tell the story through the white guy who crashed the ship on the shore. He's not the main character. He's a moving part in the series, but they immerse you into the life of samurai and the consorts. It's so good. So good.
Awesome.
And it gave me my ending, you know, which is... Like Stephen King sold hundreds of millions of dollars worth of books. He can't land an ending to save his life. First three quarters of the book are great.
I've never read Stephen King.
No, but I'm just telling you that's the thing.
I've heard that from so many people. There's disappointment.
And maybe it's that he's so good at the buildup that he's okay at the end, but it just feels like you're missing because the buildup was so good. This delivered all the way across in performances. It's all in Japanese subtitles for the most part, unless the... Englishman is speaking Portuguese, which was sort of the language that bonded a lot of people back together then. If they're in Portuguese, you get it in English, but everything else is subtitled. So you have to pay attention. You get immersed into the storyline, and the characters and the actors are just unbelievable. If you haven't watched it, all 10 episodes are now available on Hulu, so you can binge it. You know, I had to wait every week, like old school Tuesday night.
Actually better.
Oh, not for me.
Oh, you don't think so? I love to have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And the anticipation.
I would rather
something.
Them drop it all, and I'm going to watch it in my schedule. But that's just me.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
So if you haven't checked it out, and we wrapped up The Gentlemen. There was a movie called The Gentlemen that had Matthew McConaughey, and it's a Guy Ritchie film. He decided to do a Netflix series and put it in this world. It has nothing to do with the movie, but these kind of royal uppers growing marijuana underground and you know, the politics of royalty and making money with seedy drug dealers. And it is a world so beautifully painted by Guy Ritchie, so quirky, so him at his best. So if you want Gregorian chants with hip hop under it and just a bizarro world of characters, it's great.
Awesome. Really? It sounds more mindless.
It's
like you don't have to pay as much attention.
It's just funny and yet can get ultra violent, but the characters are all just so quirky and you know, literally here's the premise. Soldier, you know, guy in the British Army, finds out his father has passed away, who's royalty, Duke of something. And the old man was keeping the whole royalty thing alive by renting out underground space to grow marijuana to these seedy criminals that the kid didn't know anything about, but now has inherited. And as he tries to extricate himself from all of this gambling world, it just keeps amplifying and amplifying and amplifying. And he's got a worthless brother, the older brother who should have gotten the estate, keeps getting him into more trouble. Quirky characters pop up everywhere. Literally, the acting, everything about it is fantastic. So there's two shows. I just gave you like 20 hours of entertainment.
And I'll see your two and give you two also for the lower stake stuff, the network kind of stuff. Just finished season one. There's 11 episodes of The Irrational. It's a procedural, kind of low stakes fun. Each episode, it has its own standalone. It has a story that goes across. And then Will Trent, I am loving. It's way more fun, and the stakes have kind of upped more than I thought they'd be. And money back guarantee on Fallout.
And let me save you from an experience. If you're tempted to watch Argylle on Apple TV,
it's dreadful.
Do not. Oh. It is the worst thing I have seen in 5 or 10 years.
And you haven't seen Napoleon, I heard, right? So that's getting just destroyed.
Well, I didn't want to see Napoleon. I wanted to see Argylle just because of the cast and the stuff. It's just awful. I mean, I literally believe if you gave me $250,000, I could put something more interesting, having no experience doing it, than this movie.
That bad.
It's awful.
Wow.
Terrible.
How does that get past so many people?
Because here's the thing. To do a certain amount of camp requires an incredible skill. It's the hardest thing to do. Guy Ritchie, when he's at his best, does it as well. Quentin Tarantino, when he's at his best, does it really well. It's dark and funny and hitting that note of just kind of camp.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's a hard thing to do.
It is.
And they were awful. It's like just tone deaf. It's we shut it off.
Oh, no. It's that bad.
I mean, Lindsay shut it off. She goes, I'm sorry. I'm like, what are you sorry for? Because she was pushing to watch it. And I'm like, we got this other stuff. So I said, okay, it's movie night, Saturday. We'll sit and do a movie. And could not make it through an hour.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I feel bad for people that put a lot of work into that and their star power. And it's just awful. Anyway, how was your week in Springfield last week?
Well, my week in Springfield was good. We were there to
Crossing Healthcare. For those of you just joining us and new to the audience, here every Wednesday, unless she's over there beating up the politicians and telling them how to fix healthcare.
Well, we were over there to talk about some 340B legislation. Again.
And what does that mean?
Well, so that's all about pharmacy expenses and pharmaceuticals.
Yes.
And pharmacy benefits that that flow to health centers like Crossing Healthcare. So there's some legislation. It's you know, boring and complicated, but there's some legislation that would be very beneficial to health centers and hospitals being considered by our state legislation or legislators. And so I was there to voice my support and have some conversations. Got to sit down with Senator Turner, and that's always a pleasure. So it was really good.
Okay. So are you getting the help you need from our local elected officials?
Absolutely.
All of
100%.
Them?
100%. Well, I have spoken with Senator Turner and with Sue Scheer about this.
Okay.
And
Doris
so,
Turner. Or,
Doris Turner.
Because we also have Sally Turner, correct?
Yes. I have talked to Doris.
I think Sally's a small part of don't
worry. I talked to Doris.
I'm still not on the remapping thing all the way up to speed.
Yeah, and Sue about these things.
Yeah.
They are supportive of this. And
well, they also have the numbers to actually do something.
And so that's been very helpful. And, you know, really, as we sort of really think about healthcare and funding, a lot of what we've talked about, you and I have talked about in the past, is the people that are doing really well are pharmaceutical companies and PBMs and managed care companies.
And insurance companies.
Exactly, the insurance companies. And so this type of legislation can help us sort of redirect some of the laws and the rules to the playing field and get dollars to the healthcare providers, which is really what this is more about.
Okay, and then what happened this past week or so with new legislation that's not allowing insurance companies to decide which medication you can go on first, you know, where if you're seeing a mental health professional and they say, we want to put you on this, insurance companies are stepping in and go, no, you need to try this or this before you go to that, even though that was the doctor's recommendation.
Right. And so
that just seems bizarro to me.
A lot of that does seem very, very difficult. And that's difficult to legislate, to be quite honest with you, because you're getting into protocols and how medication is administered. And there are times when a managed care company or an insurance company might have a point that there may be a medical provider who is headed down a path that might not be evidence-based. And so it's well within the constructs of an insurance plan to say, you know, we want you to follow this evidence-based plan before you skip over to a very expensive medication or treatment.
Okay,
so there is a balance.
Exactly.
There.
But that person who's looking directly across the table from that person, if someone's having a crisis, they don't have time to experiment.
You're
I
correct.
Mean, if you give me my choice, knowing that there are people who could take advantage of things on both sides of the conversation, but I am going to, my gut tells me I will go to that doctor-patient relationship any day of the week versus some guy with a clipboard trying to figure out how to make the insurance company more profitable.
You're right. I do, at the end of the day, my faith and trust is in your relationship with a healthcare provider. With that said, you know, one thing that we learned from the opioid crisis and the opioid epidemic is there were providers who ran pill mills. And so there are bad apples.
No doubt.
And so I think that that's why legislation like this is difficult, because insurance companies will come back with, here's an example of why we need guardrails. And so,
yeah, but their guardrails only work one way.
Exactly.
And that's the problem. I mean, you're going to give me ghost network coverage. Mm-hmm. You're going to give me like out of network.
100%.
A reason to kind of go through this about, you know, options in our network, right? makes no sense.
It doesn't. And I think the devil is in the detail. If you would pull your, you know, and I would encourage people to pull their plans and look to see at their provider network. And you mentioned
there's some that don't even exist.
You're correct. And if you actually call some of the places that are listed, they'll tell you they're not scheduling new patient appointments for 2 years. And so it's important to truly understand. And what oftentimes happens is most people don't have the time to call and check availability of medical providers they don't need. So it's not until
you find out exactly
when you have a big need and you're under a time constraint, and then you find out that your insurance provider doesn't have something in network. So then you call them and you start to work through that process. It can be incredibly frustrating, all while you're under a significant amount of stress. And so, you know, the whole sort of insurance industry is challenged, and it underpins a challenging healthcare system. So we're in a position where we are going to start to see legislation. You and I have talked about this, delve into the details.
Yeah.
Which can be,
it's not that I necessarily trust the politicians.
Correct. That's why we go talk to them.
But,
yes.
But if you just had to say, all right, Brian, you got to like hop off the ledge and be on one side or the other, I think I'm always going
to
fall
to the
doctor, the medical expert, mm-hmm. and the relationship with their patient, knowing that not everyone in that field is honest, but mm-hmm. that is where, if you had to tell me land one side or the other,
right.
that's where I'm going to land.
I have a strong bias and I land in the same place. So the person who has who dedicated their life and their education towards trying to help people live healthier lives versus an industry that's a for-profit industry. So of course that's where I'm going to land. With that said, it's important for me to see both sides of this situation.
No, you
so
have
I can
to.
Have good conversations.
And I think that mm-hmm. by listening to the other side, you can make it better on the other side.
I
there's no doubt. I'm just saying my experience in my life mm-hmm. is I am more 99% more likely to trust the person I'm sitting across from
yes.
in an office who knows my history, who knows me and what they are advising
yes.
me to do, than one somebody in an office somewhere out of state telling me what the best care for me.
Completely agree. And we're really fortunate in our community.
And by the way, they've also leaked out all of my personal yes. information.
Thank you. Right. I will tell you, though, we're fortunate in our community that most of the medical providers and the physicians and nurse practitioners and PAs in our community work for our major healthcare institutions. And those institutions have really strong quality programs and guardrails to make sure that, you know, the medical providers that you're seeing in our community are of high standards,
yes.
high quality.
But,
so
but
we're
how this
fortunate.
All, I know, but you know, just to use our own experience, because Blue Cross Blue Shield did what they did, we as an entire company had to change our insurance, which I much would have rather had what we had mm-hmm. than what we have now, based on this argument between Springfield Clinic and Blue Cross Blue Shield,
mm-hmm.
and this whole idea of ghost networks and what it impacts everyone, whether you have any say so or not.
It truly does. And I will tell you that it is the same types of impacts have been happening in Medicaid. And so, you know, for years, you know, people who are on Illinois Medicaid, not commercial insurance, but public insurance, didn't have choices. They just had the standard plan. And with managed care has come insurance plans
yeah.
for Medicaid, just like with Medicare.
Yeah.
So it gets really confusing if you're on
is.
Medicare.
But I feel like I'm paying.
You're paying a lot of money.
And then every year my money goes up, whether I've used any of it or not.
Uh-huh.
In fact, I can show you during COVID how our numbers went way down, which
your
meant even more profit.
Right.
And then the numbers still went up.
Yeah. And so.
So there's no correlation
no.
to, you know, the way everything else, most of life works about how we decide on what something costs.
You're correct. And so during the pandemic, insurance companies made record profits. The federal government did push back on the managed care and insurance companies, and they had to, you know, make micro grants and grants and,
yeah.
and sort of invest some of those profits back into communities. But it was a small proportion given
right.
given what those were. And so, you know, I do see, you know, a frustration. And again, I have strong bias. I come from the provider side, and I think it's important to point that out.
I appreciate the candor, but I don't
mm-hmm.
I don't know that it's bias. I think you've dealt with both ends of this all your life,
yes.
and you know where you would land if push comes to shove. This is the same. This is health reproduction. This is the argument about COVID. You could insert anything you want in here.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that conversation is between you and your doctor.
I 100% agree. I think that best
decisions, whatever that
exactly best decisions happen between a patient and their provider behind closed doors.
And when you sit there and your doctor goes, "Well, here's the medication I would recommend," and then types in, "Oh, well, your insurance company won't cover that. Why?"
Or you have to try these five things first.
Particularly in a mental health crisis situation.
Absolutely, that's
because it already
common.
Is hard to get even to that conversation.
You're correct. And as science develops, we're at a place where we can start to look at genetic biomarkers and determine what psychotropic medications might be most effective for you. And so the regulations around how this is paid for in commercial isn't keeping pace with science for some people.
Surprise,
well.
Surprise.
It's a challenge.
Yeah.
It's a good conversation to be having.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, Nick.
You have a way to connect this to wrestling?
We could.
Oh, yes.
They're independent contractors. They got to get their own health insurance.
They do.
And when they get hurt, it is catastrophic
happen.
For them.
Yeah. Yes, indeed.
Really is.
Well,
good job, Nick. I'm impressed.
No one's forcing them to wrestle. I would think injuries would be a part of that
to
job.
To their credit, they have been giving them mental health services and trying to be more modern.
This
in
is
approach.
The problem, though, yes. is I can give you those services, but these are the hoops you got to jump through to come with those services. Yeah. The services aren't worth anything.
Oh, 100%.
You know what I mean?
What night's wrestling on?
Oh,
like
all
night.
Of them. Monday,
oh, okay.
Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday.
All right.
We decided there's no 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. There's 1 degree of wrestling in this.
That's right.
I have not watched.
Which is great for wrestling fans.
Yes.
But people who don't watch wrestling aren't getting it at all.
No. I have never really sat and watched wrestling, Nick. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah. One of these days.
You're one of the few.
I think maybe I am one of the few.
Come on now. Come on.
But they have nice track suits, right? So
I don't know what
outfits,
they
still wear masks and have
some
outfits?
Some do.
Sequins. A lot of sequins.
Oh, man. Oh.
There's not a lot of sequins?
No.
Not so many sequins.
There weren't sequins?
There have been. There have been masks. It's the luchadors in Mexico.
Face paint?
Face paint sometimes.
Yeah.
Who's the guy like with the white hair now that was like the big guy for a long time? Not Hulk Hogan, but one of the big ones.
Ric Flair?
Woo. Wasn't sequins?
Yeah, he had his Nature Boy robe.
I've seen them go up for auction.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the sequins.
And what do you
made in the mines in Nashville.
They're shorts or whatever?
Tights.
They're
tights.
Men in tights.
That just goes back to the Breakfast Club conversation between Anthony Michael Hall and Emilio Estevez. Mm,
maybe I should watch wrestling.
It's fun. It's low stakes. It's good stuff.
That part, it's low
better
stakes.
Better than Argyle?
Listen, anything can watch paint dry and get more entertainment than Argyle. So, yes, I'm
all right,
sure. About
so maybe we'll do that.
All right. So are you hopeful, optimistic about outside competition, Amazon, Mark Cuban, healthcare industry having to take care of itself and change just for survival, people having more of a voice? I mean, does all this push us in the right direction?
Yes, I'm very hopeful. That's my nature. But I believe that market forces get us in the right place, and that when we listen to people who are the consumers of our product, which is healthcare, we have to get better. And I think the benefit...
But you've not had to do that for so long.
I know. And I feel like the pandemic broke.
And when I say healthcare. You, I mean collectively.
No, I completely understand. The pandemic broke healthcare, and we have to put our pieces back together. And it doesn't make common sense to put it back together in another broken way.
Could you see it where, making this up as an example, to where something like Amazon invests in a network of doctors that could potentially be the first step in crossing, meaning this is what you see. We don't do that part anymore, but you funnel in through the rest. Does that make
sense?
Absolutely.
And who doesn't have an Amazon app on their phone?
Yeah, but
if you could schedule an appointment at crossing through Amazon, well, how helpful would that be?
But the basic level question I have with that is with that availability, that technology, why does it take 2 years to see a patient? I mean, why are we still living in these worlds that are so diametrically opposed?
Yeah, that's a good question, because that's something we work hard not to be that way. You know, we track our
I don't mean you. I'm talking about just you. We know this, the mental health thing. We can see you in 3 months.
Yeah, supply and demand.
Yeah, but I can do that. I can do that on my iPad.
Right. And so I think that then is where our legislation has to get involved and help change some of the regulations around what can be billed.
Yeah.
For
Right.
Plans like Medicare and Medicaid, because that sets the standard for commercial plans.
And the idea that you all still call it telehealth is to me the most telling thing about the whole thing.
100%.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, could we sound like old man right. starting a fire with a remote guy?
Right.
Telehealth.
Tanya, can
virtual visits.
Can you explain something? Brian and I were talking yesterday, I believe, about in his experience, he's been lucky that he gets a 2 o'clock appointment. He's seeing the doctor 2:05. Everything's great. Another person I talked to had a 6 o'clock appointment, got in at 7:41. Mm-hmm. What does that look like at the end of the day? If you got the two different types of doctors, the ones that are punctual and the ones that are an hour and 15 behind, do they stay late or is the last person sent home?
No, they stay late. So providers who have appointments on their schedule, there's two things that contribute to people getting really behind. The first thing is that your operations probably need reworked or might need reworked.
Yep.
And so is your flow, is your operational workflows
that's
and work
basic, hasn't,
that's yeah. that basic stuff of, you know, is everybody competent, trained to know what they're supposed to do, and is there good flow?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing that has to be looked at. And the second thing is really the personality and work style of the individual practitioner. So you have some physicians who are very relational and will spend the extra time with the person right in front of them. They don't allow the, I have 15 minutes and that's what's on the schedule, so that's what you're going to get. They don't allow that to drive
But who decided
them.
15 minutes is the right amount of time?
Well, people like me.
Okay, so the operational
exactly,
side of
operational.
Things.
Operational.
Yeah.
So then,
how do we squeeze as right. much as we can out of an hour?
So then what you do is you try to adjust time frames and schedule certain types of appointments into long slots, short slots. So
right.
there's that sort of science
Got
and
it.
Dynamic. But I think that the other thing that happens is that people are unpredictable. And so if the two appointments before you, the person came in and they unloaded a lot to mm-hmm. their provider and had some pretty significant needs, that provider, to do the right thing, spends the extra time, and then that pushes everything back. And
yep.
so then what some providers will do is work through their lunch to catch up. Or they'll, in our clinic, the benefit of the size and scope of our clinic is that we'll offload those appointments to other people if we can to get everyone back on track.
So because, to try to keep it.
Correct.
Yeah.
So there might be a no-show or someone who didn't or someone who had some room on their schedule, and we'll adjust. But in a small practice,
that's hard
there's
to
no
do.
Place to do that.
I've got a question on top of that. The mm-hmm. other side of that, are you over-communicating with patients now? I mean, the sheer amount of text that you get,
that's a good question.
Here's a reminder of your appointment. Mm-hmm. Here's another reminder of mm-hmm. your appointment. Please confirm your appointment. Mm-hmm. I mean, now every visit has a lot of exchanges going on. Is it too much?
Yeah, that's a good question. And so we've not done the post visit communication. We have one or two text reminders pre-visit, and it depends on the type of appointment.
Yes.
If it's a really long appointment that we're really holding up a lot of time for, we might send two reminder
texts. I don't know. I'm just asking.
But
this is relatively new in the communication
level.
And
if all those mm-hmm. texts don't come through, you know something's wrong. Like, hey, did you forget
right.
about me? Did I get yeah. moved? Whatever.
Right.
I don't mind it. I was just yeah. asking because it's...
I get communication now after appointments with satisfaction surveys, and those are the ones that, for me personally, they're not my favorite. To be honest with you, but I do appreciate the reminder text because, again, I put things in my calendar, but I'm human and I get busy. And so I like those.
I do too.
Our patients like them. It's a technology that we've seen about 3 years ago.
Here's my only thing from a communication mm-hmm. business
yeah.
model. Sometimes when there's so many, mm-hmm. they lose their importance
to
of being a reminder.
It's spam.
You know, and then maybe when you're trying to really get their attention, you're getting ignored because you've communicated too much.
Yes, you and everyone else like you
yeah.
has communicated too much. I would agree with you.
There's just I'd rather have it this way than the other way. But I'm wondering, you know, as an industry, mm-hmm. you know, what's the right amount?
Well, and I think as an industry, we need to figure out what is the right way to communicate with people.
The phone.
You know, I think it has to be gone are the postcards. Remember when we used to get postcards from our healthcare providers?
No, those just come from politicians.
Yeah, and it needs to be two ways.
Yeah.
You texted me 40 times about this. I need to call because that's the wrong text. How come nobody can answer?
Right.
In some facilities, it's like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
I'd use Nick
agree.
As one of your pilot people because he's very particular about service.
Well,
very particular.
We all should be. And it's interesting, you know, at Crossing, over half of our board members are our patients.
Yeah.
And you would be surprised how much communication is about how we schedule and handle appointments.
It's a great conversation.
It's important. Yeah.
I think that these kinds of conversations need to be had publicly because for most of us, you run a place, you work at a place, or you're a patient, and there's not a lot of cross communication about how all that works.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a pleasure.
Always fun.
Yeah. I enjoy it. I learned something.
And in a related wrestling story.
With tights, men in tights.
Sequence.
I'm tuning in.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.